But again, happy Father's Day. I've been here 2.5 years, and so we've been here a couple of Father's Days, Mother's Days, that kind of stuff. I don't do Father's Day and Mother's Day messages very much, and today's no exception. So happy Father's Day. That's what you get, dads. You got a little lure, a little crappie lure, so a little jig. Go out and use that later if you want to, but know that we appreciate you, dads, and we're grateful that you're here this morning. But we want to continue on in our sermon series that we're in, talking about Jesus rescues. Jesus does rescue us, by the way. Jesus steps in, takes care of us more times than we probably realize. And what we're trying to do is figure out ways that when we get ourselves into stuff, how Jesus steps in and rescues us, or the way he gives us examples to see how he can rescue us. And today's more of an example. This is not a Jesus jumps in and pulls everything out and makes everything okay, although he can do that sometimes. Today's is more of an example of this is how you ought to be when you have some struggles in life. And this is how Jesus can set it up so that he can rescue you from the struggles you have. Now, saying that, sometimes Jesus chooses to put us through, let us go through struggles. He doesn't necessarily put us in the middle of a struggle, but we find ourselves in struggles pretty easily. And so Jesus just kind of lets us go through them sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't just pull us out. He's not a helicopter parent where he hovers around and goes, oh, Justin's in this, let me get him out of it. Oh, he's found himself in this trouble, let me get him out of it. No, God allows us to go through things. And when we do go through things, when we do have struggles, it's wise to be able to know how Jesus has set this up for us to be able to depend and lean on him. And we're going to see that this morning through the struggles of Jesus himself. Now, we read the Mark version of this story a couple weeks ago. So 2 weeks has passed. I could preach the same sermon. Most of you wouldn't know, right? Unless you're like Dr. Grant and write it down in your Bible and tell me that I preached on that 2 years ago. And I did. Last Sunday's verses I used 2 years ago. But it was a different sermon, I promise. And if you can find evidence of 2 years ago's sermon, I think you'll find that. I don't know where you'll find evidence of that. YouTube, I guess. But you could go do that. Different sermon, I promise. And today, even though we're using the same story as we talked about 2 weeks ago, we're using Matthew's version of it, and we're looking at a different aspect of what we see. A few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus steps in and the way that he sets that up. Now we want to look at when we struggle, when Jesus struggled, what did he lean on? What did Jesus lean on? Not how can Jesus jump in and save us, but when Jesus needed to lean on something, when he had a struggle, what did he do? If I asked you in here to raise your hand, I'm not, but if I asked you to, and I said, who in here has ever had a struggle? You probably, most of us would raise our hands, and the ones that didn't raise your hands would be lying. So there's, you've already got a struggle too. And then, if I said, who right now is going through some kind of struggle? A lot of us would raise our hands in that. And some of them would be, we would think in our human terms, bigger struggles. Some of them would be kind of smaller, little, doesn't seem as important kind of struggles, but they mean something to us. But we all go through that kind of stuff. As family situations do it, financial strains do it, health complications, just everyday life brings struggles of its own. And Jesus had struggles too. Jesus lived a perfect life, but he didn't have a struggle-free life, especially at the end of his life here on earth, where he had probably the greatest struggle that he faced. And minutes before this greatest struggle, which would be the cross, going to the cross, Jesus goes to a place that we can learn from and go to that same place for help in our struggles. And that place is prayer. It's just prayer. Jesus, who was perfect, who was God here on earth, had to go to the place of prayer when he had a struggle. Now, we're going to see in a little bit that wasn't the only time he prayed, but if Jesus felt the need to pray, I think you and I ought to kind of jump on that train a little bit. You and I ought to feel the need to pray. If Jesus felt that need at some point in his life, we ought to feel that need at some point in our life to pray. So we're going to read this scripture, about 10 or 11 verses in Matthew 26, and then I want us to look at some lessons we can learn when it comes to prayer. Look in Matthew 26. It'll be on the screen, but if you have a copy of God's Word in your hand or a phone or an app or anything like that, you can follow along. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them, that's his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, "Sit here while I'll go over there and pray," taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. He began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little further, he fell down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he asked Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake with me even an hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus said that because he understood that in this moment, by the way. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." Then he came and found them sleeping again, all because they could not keep their eyes open. After leaving them, he went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? See, the time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near." Jesus struggled. We would be liars to say that our Jesus, our Savior, never had a struggle in his life, because Jesus had struggles, and the greatest of all of them led him to prayer. So what can we learn? What are some lessons we can glean out of this? I've got three of them, and we'll be done this morning. Number one, and we've already said it, is that there's a need for prayer. There is a need for us to pray. Now, here's the background, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. The background of Jesus getting to this place was, Jesus had been in an upper room with all of his disciples. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. It was a way to remember him. It was a way to remember his body being broken, the way his blood was going to be shed for them. It was a way, they didn't even realize yet, but it was going to be a way for the disciples to remember what Jesus had done for them. So he's not reliving, he's pre-living all of this distress that's going to take on his life in the next 24 hours. He also tells them in that upper room that there's going to be a betrayal. Somebody, one of those 12 men, is going to betray him that night. Then, not only that, he has to live out before it happens. Then Peter opens his mouth and says, "Hey, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I'll never deny you." Which was a lie for Peter, because he was going to do that in just a few hours. So now Jesus, knowing that's going to happen, has to confront Peter and kind of try to put him back in the right place. And again, he's pre-living all these things that are going to happen to him, that are going to be stressful, that are going to be struggles for him. Not to mention that as he's walking from that upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, he is walking right into the spot where he will be betrayed and arrested, and where he'll see all of those who follow him run away like scared little, I don't want to say little girls. Am I allowed to say that in 2023? I don't know. Like scared people. There you go. Not girls. Not only girls are scared. You put a snake in front of me, I'm scared too. So they ran away though. They ran, right? They just ran off. So he's already thinking through all of this stuff as all this is happening. And the first thing he does in verse 39, it says he fell face down and he prayed. Now you and I don't know what's going to happen before us. Maybe we can see some things coming. Maybe we've put ourselves in a situation to where we know we're going to be in trouble, or we know somebody's going to be mad at us, or we know somebody's going to be upset, or something's going to happen maybe. Maybe we have some unknowns ahead of us. There's a medical thing. We don't know what it's going to come out as. But if Jesus needed to pray,
You and I need to pray. There is a need for prayer. Even Jesus, when he hit with the struggle of all struggles, went directly to prayer.
Now, that's not the only time he prayed. Did you know that before he fed the 5,000, he prayed? You remember that? Before Jesus walked on water in the middle of a storm out to his disciples who were on a boat afraid of drowning, before he did that miracle, do you know what he did? Scripture says he went away and he prayed. Right before that story, go back and find that story in Scripture. It says he went away and he prayed. Did you know that when he was baptized, before he was baptized, he prayed? Did you know that a lot of times when he healed people in Scripture, before he did that, he either prayed then or he had been away praying? Prayer was not something that just Jesus all of a sudden decided, hey, this is a big deal now, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to ask him to help me. No, he spent time in prayer. It was not something that just popped up. He knew there was a need for prayer. And if Jesus sees a need for prayer consistently through his life, we have to see a need for prayer. Here's some things prayer does for us. Prayer lines us up with God's will. You ever been somewhere, or you ever thought something, you ever heard somebody say, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. I just want to know. Well, guess what? You can know by staying in prayer. The best way to know God's will for your life is to stay consistently in prayer. No better thing to do to submit to God's will, to find out God's will, than to be in prayer. And Jesus did that. We see Jesus doing that here. Jesus prayed and said, listen, if this cup can go away, if it's possible, let it pass. And remember, the cup was the wrath of God poured out on people. Everything we deserve, that's the cup. Everything we deserve for our sin that Jesus never deserved, that's what he was about to have poured on him. Everything we gave Jesus because of our sin. Everything everybody in history owed God because of their sin, all of that punishment was about to be poured out on Jesus. And he says, listen, if there's another way to do this, God, let's let this pass away. But he says, not my will, but your will. He was submitting himself to God's will, but he knew he needed prayer. He wasn't trying to avoid God's plan, but he knew he needed prayer to help him stay in God's will. Jesus was 100% God. We believe that. We also believe that Jesus was 100% man. And you're like me. How in the world is that possible? I don't know. It's a God thing. Ask him when you get there, okay? I don't know. But we know that that's true. We see it in Scripture. And here is one of the parts where we see him as in 100% man form. God, I don't want this to happen because it's not going to be good. But I'm coming to you in prayer because I need you. If it's going to happen, I'm going to need you to help me. I'm going to need you to put me in your will. Because if it was up to Jesus' will, his manly, knowledgeable side, he would have found a different way that he thought was better. Because that's what we like to do, isn't it? Well, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to find a better way. I know he wants me to do this, but I'm going to do this. I know he wants me to talk to this person, but I'm going to avoid him. Right? We always think we have the better way. And Jesus, in his humanity, probably leaned that direction. If you saw the Passion of the Christ movie, the very first scene is Jesus praying in the garden. And there's a little bit of liberty, a little bit of Hollywood liberty taken there, but I don't think it's far from the truth that there's a Satan-type figure that is walking around the whole time Jesus is praying and just kind of there, like that presence is there. I don't think that's 100% off. I think that very well could have happened. I think that temptation was around there. I think it was there trying to push Jesus away from what God's will was, but he had to stay in prayer to stay in it. Prayer lines us up with God's will. Prayer also gives us strength. And prayer doesn't give us physical strength always or mental strength. Prayer gives us spiritual strength. I don't think there's any other better strength than spiritual strength. That's strength that comes straight from God. Jesus needed strength. Think about it. He was going to be betrayed. He was going to be arrested. He was going to be denied. He was going to be mistreated all the way to the cross.
Jesus needed spiritual strength. Prayer also, though, grows our faith. The more we pray, the more you pray, the stronger your faith will get. Promise you. Promise you. And you say, well, I don't know if that's true, Justin. You know, you're just saying I pray all the time, my faith will get stronger. Try it. Just try it. The more you pray, because the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you'll see God take care of things only God can take care of. The more you'll see Him step in and do things only He can do. The more you'll see Him answer prayer, which we'll talk about in a second. And your faith will continue to grow. Prayer always grows your faith. And then when your faith grows, guess what else happens? Your prayer life even grows more. So prayer is the catalyst for all of that to grow. Prayer grows that faith. But prayer also keeps us in communication with God. That's a pretty important spot to be in too. If I have a problem, I want to talk to somebody that can actually help me. And I don't want to leave them, and I don't want to quit talking to them until everything is fixed, right? If you call somebody on the phone and say, help me do this, or if you have somebody come over and you say, show me how to do this, you want them there until everything's done. You don't want them to help you take a piece off of your car and go, all right, well, it just goes back on how it came off. You're going to be like, no, wait. You need to stay and help me do this. We need to get this back on, okay? We need to fix this. Jesus, whenever we stay in communication with God, that's what we're doing. We're talking to somebody who can help us with all things. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we spend time in His presence, the more we are there until everything is good. We spend time with Him. And we let Him settle our spirits, and we let Him settle our hearts, and we let Him grow our faith. And the more we spend time with Him, the more things get better. That communication with God helps us do that. My mom, it's transferred to Lindsay a little bit now, which is not the worst thing in the world. I like talking to my mom, but my mom will call with computer questions. And when my mom calls with computer questions, she writes down, probably on the back of a piece of junk mail that she got on the envelope that she's not going to use, but she's too tight to throw it away because it could be used for a note. So she'll turn that envelope over and she'll start writing. Step one, click this icon. Step two, click file. Step three, click open. Step four, find such and such. Step five, and it doesn't matter how many steps, and she's not getting off the phone with either of us until she has that fixed. Now, I say that, and I know my mom's not the only one that does that. Some of y'all are thinking, that is my mom right there. That's my dad, or that's my grandparents, or that's my sister, or that's my brother, or that's the guy at work. Whoever it might be, you know what that is. But staying in communication with God is the same thing. We are getting information from Him as long as we're in communication with Him. When you and I cut that communication off, it's kind of like we're just out there floating. We're on our own again. And God says, if you'll stay in communication, we see that with Jesus. He went back three times. The first time it said He prayed for an hour. So we just have to guess, since He said the same thing every time, three different times for an hour He went and prayed. The Son of the God of all the universe, who was 100% God Himself, spent 3 hours in prayer before He went to the cross. For you. He kept in communication with His Father. And prayer keeps us in that important communication with God. You tell Him your cares. You tell Him your desires. You ask Him to help you when your faith is low. All of the things Jesus is doing in here. That's our example. That's our example to follow. There's a need for prayer. But then there's also hindrances to prayer. You and I have an enemy to that communication with God. We have somebody that doesn't want us to communicate with God because they know that's where our faith will grow. They know that's where we'll get all of our answers. They know that's where our life will line up with God's will. And that thing, that person, that entity that is the enemy of you having connection with God is Satan. It's Satan, 100%. Whenever we pray, Satan thinks that's his territory for some reason. And he will step in and he will fight back when we try to have communication with God. Satan wants nothing more than to disrupt our prayers. Satan wants nothing more than to hinder our communication with God. If he can hinder our communication with God, then everything we just talked about suffers. Everything we just talked about as a need for prayer suffers. You can't know God's will if your prayers are hindered. You won't have spiritual strength. Your faith will be weaker. Your communication with God will suffer. All of that happens and more when Satan can hinder our prayers, and he will and he wants to. We see that through the disciples. We don't see that through Jesus here, but we see that through the disciples in the story, don't we? Jesus had asked all the disciples to come with him and wait while he prayed. And then he takes a few more a little further on so that they could hear him pray, so that they would know the anguish he's in, so that they would know the things that he's going through. Maybe they would pray with him. Maybe the ones he left, the other eight that he left back further, maybe they would be praying for him. And Peter, James, and John went along with him for that support. Jesus goes away to pray. They could hear the prayer. They could hear the struggle, all until they fell asleep. They heard it all. And then they start snoring. And three times Jesus comes back to wake them up. And three times we find them hindered in their prayers. I don't think the prayer was as much for Jesus in this moment. It was a little bit. But I think it was more for the disciples. They needed to know. They needed to hear. They needed to be prepared for that night and next day that were to come. But they were hindered in their prayers because they were physically hindered. And Satan will use it. He'll use your spirituality, he'll use your mental state, he'll use your physical state, he'll use whatever tools he can to hinder your prayers. And the Bible's not silent on the fact that we can have things that hinder our prayers, but they all go back to sin, and they all go back to those things where we let Satan have a little foothold in our life, and then he can use that to hinder our prayers. Here's some of them. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers won't be hindered. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You have doubt in your life. You know where that comes from? It comes from sin. It comes from Satan. It comes from giving Satan a foothold in our life. You doubt, your prayers are hindered. James 4:3, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You want to be selfish in life? Your prayers are going to be hindered. Isaiah 59, indeed, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save and his ear is not too deaf to hear. But your iniquities are separating you from God, your sin. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. Prayers are hindered. Proverbs 21:13. The one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. You don't love people like Jesus loved people? Prayers are going to be hindered. Proverbs 28:9, anyone who turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is detestable. You don't want to do the things you're asked to do. You don't want to follow the rules. You don't want to follow Jesus like you ought to. He doesn't listen to your prayers. If we struggle, we ought to go to God in prayer. And we can't let a hindered prayer add to the struggles we're already facing. A hindered prayer is when we let Satan come in and get that foothold, get his claws in us a little bit. And he can hinder and he can destroy our prayer life. But the more you stay in prayer, the less he has a chance to come in and do that. Sometimes our prayers are hindered. But number three, another thing we can learn from this is that there's always an answer to prayer. Always an answer to prayer. There are plenty of places in Scripture where we see prayers answered. You see prophets in the Old Testament that would pray and prayers were answered. You see disciples that would pray and prayers were answered. You see kings in the Old Testament that would pray and their prayers were answered. Normal people that would pray and their prayers were answered. God will answer prayers. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Jeremiah 32:27, look, I am the Lord, the God over every creature. Is anything too difficult for me? That's the God we have at our disposal when we pray. The God that can do anything. And more than just being able to do anything for us, God has our best interest in mind. Now, it might not be my best interest in mind. Do you understand the difference? What I think is best and what God knows is best, two different things. I thought it was good to drive really fast when I got my license. There's a straight stretch before I get too close to town. Nobody was ever on it. And I'm not going to ever tell you how fast I went because my son listens. But I got on that straight stretch many times and tried to figure out how fast that my vehicles that I had at that moment would go. If my dad would have known about that, keys would have been gone. They'd have been long gone. Now we have something called Life 360, and I get to see what Slayton does every time he drives. And when it says he went 75 from here to from home to the church, I know what he's doing, and I get to address that. Why? Because I know what's best. I know it's best not to do 75 miles an hour down that road. But when I was 16, I didn't know that, right? Same way with God. He knows what's best for us. And he answers our prayers based on what's best for us. Not what I think's best, because sometimes 41-year-old Justin still thinks like 16-year-old Justin, and he doesn't always know what's best. So God answers my prayers based on what's best for me. He always has our best in mind. Look at verse 45 and 46. He came to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. See, my betrayer is near." Jesus stood up from the prayer he just prayed. He could have been worried about the events to come. He could have been discouraged at the sleeping and not praying of his friends. But he stands with the strength that he needs to face the day and the events to come. Even as Judas walks toward him, he said, "Let's go. Let's go meet him." That didn't come from some other place other than prayer. It's the only place that came from. He was trying to teach his disciples that prayer is important, and they slept through it. So now his prayer is answered. He knows the answer. He knows it's not that the cup is going to pass away from him. So he says, "All right, let's stand up. Here comes Judas. Let's go meet him." And he knew that would start the events in motion of the worst day in all, the worst, greatest day in all of history. It's great for us because of what happened. Horrible for Jesus because of the suffering he went through that day. But for eternity, it's great for us. And Jesus, with that strength from that prayer, that answered prayer, not answered how he wanted it. Remember, even the Son of God was denied the answer to the prayer that he asked for. Do you ever realize that? Even Jesus, when he said, "Hey God, Dad, I'd really like not to have to go through this." But then he stands up and he's like, "All right, but I know the answer. There's Judas, let's go." He was not given the yes that he asked for, but it was for his best, and better yet, it was for our best. It's interesting to think that God didn't answer everything about Jesus' prayer the way he asked it. Now, that prayer is kind of extended in other parts of Scripture. There's spots in Scripture where you see Jesus prayed more before he was arrested about us. And some of that stuff was answered. He prayed for us, prayed for those that would believe. Awesome, awesome prayers that he prayed for us. But this specific one obviously was not answered like he wanted. And just like God answered the prayers of his Son, he answered it. His will was done. He's going to answer ours as well. And you and I can stand firm in that. We can stand firm in the fact he's going to answer our prayers. We can stand firm in the fact that he's going to answer it for what's best for us. And again, Justin's mind doesn't always understand that because I'm not real smart. Most of the time, I'm not real smart. And so what I think should happen, what I think looks right, what I think is best, is not always there. But how does this apply to all of us?
Well, I think we follow Jesus' example. That's how it applies to us. One way. We follow his example. He knew the importance of prayer in his life. We have to see that importance. I think we also, it shows us that we ought to talk to God about our needs, right? You and I have to go to God when we have a need. How else will we be strengthened? How else will we have our prayers answered? How else will we know the will of God unless we take that to him? Jesus was honest about his needs. He was honest about his desires. We must be honest with God, but at the same time, be ready for God to work how only he can work. He'll always answer, and he'll always answer within his will. Now, we don't have to listen to that will, but he'll always answer a prayer within his will. I think it also applies to us in that we learn we ought not give up on prayer. Did you know, did you see, we talked about it, but Jesus had to pray three times before he was ready to stand up and walk towards his betrayer. Again, Jesus, the God, the Son of the God of all the universe, 100% God himself, had to pray three times before he stood up, before he had the spiritual strength to stand up and go, all right, God, I know the answer to my prayer, let's go. He didn't just pray once, three times. 100% God, Jesus, had to pray three times. And sometimes we'll go, well, I prayed once and I didn't hear anything from God, so I guess that's not what he wants. What if you prayed for your family more than once? What if you prayed for that neighbor that needs to know Jesus? What if you prayed for a chance to share Jesus with them more than just once? Jesus prayed three times before he had the spiritual strength to do something. What if you've prayed about something three times, but God's like, you know what, after the fourth time, I'm going to answer your prayer and give you that spiritual strength. Or after the fourth time, I'm going to answer your prayer finally. I'm going to tell you yes or no. But you stop at three and just kind of, because you know what's best, right? I know what's best. So I'm going to stop before God answers my prayer. No, he wants to hear from you. Jesus prayed three times. Who's to say we don't have to pray 10 or 103 times? Or maybe 3 years you have to pray for something, or 3 decades you've got to pray for something. I think it's important we realize that we don't give up on prayer, because Jesus didn't give up on prayer. His disciples did. They were hindered. Jesus wasn't, and he didn't give up on prayer. If you're praying for a lost friend or a lost loved one, don't give up. Don't let the prayer today be the last prayer you pray for them. Keep praying. If you're praying for God to do a work in your life or in the work of your family, don't give up. Don't let yesterday's prayer be the last prayer that you ever prayed for that. If you're praying for a bad situation, don't give up. And listen, I'm not saying pray until you change God's mind, because that's not going to happen. I'm saying pray until he gives you a clear answer on what he wants you to do. Or how he wants to work in a situation. Or how he wants to use you in a certain place. You keep praying. Keep praying. And then trust God to do what only he can do. But you know, the first prayer God wants to hear you pray is not help me or do this for this person or heal this person. The first prayer God ever wants to hear you pray is, man, Jesus, I need you. I don't have this together on my own. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need somebody to come in and forgive me and save me and give me a brand new life. Jesus, come in and save me. That's what God wants to hear first. If you want me to be honest, I think, this is just Justin theology, I think somebody who doesn't follow Jesus, who quote unquote prays, I think those things just bounce off the wall. Just off the ceiling. I don't think God hears him, because you're not his child. Why would he listen to you if you're not one of his children? He wants to hear you turn your life over to him. That's what he wants. But listen, there's no better prayer you could pray. That's not like a downer. That's the best prayer you could pray. God, save me. God, you handle this. You forgive me. You save me. Give me a brand new life. Give me a new heart. Lead me from here on out. I want to live for you, Jesus. Maybe you need to pray that prayer this morning. Maybe you've been praying all other prayers for all other people or all other kinds of prayers that you've repeated and learned from some other church or some other person. Listen, all that stuff could be fine if it's from the heart, but it's not if your heart's not with Jesus. It's not. You need to give your life to Jesus today before you pray any other prayer. The next prayer I think he wants you to pray is, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. What do you want me to do for you? How do you want me to impact the world for you, Jesus? Justin, I'm not a preacher. I can't impact the world very much. Do you know that more people come to me to talk about Jesus because somebody else talked to them about Jesus than people just randomly coming up to me because I'm a preacher? Listen, I'm just the dude that stands up here every Sunday. You're the ones that are out in the world every day. You're the ones that are around people every day. You're the ones that God wants to use to change this community. You're the ones. That prayer needs to be, God, save me, and then God, use me. How do you want to use me? And then the prayer never stops, right? Don't let it be hindered. Don't let it stop. Don't let that communication with God stop. Lean on Him. Be persistent in those prayers. Know that there's an answer coming. And you'll see God do things that only God can do. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much that we can spend time with you in prayer. That you give us a direct line to you. I don't have to go to some priest or nobody has to go to any preacher or we don't have to say any certain words or repeat any prayer. We don't have to do any of that stuff. You hear us because we're your children. Not only do you hear us, you want to hear from us. And you don't want, it's not like we think you want to hear from us because you love us so much, although you do. You want to hear from us because you know how much we need you. So Jesus, you work in our hearts this morning. Get us back on track with you this morning, Jesus. Let us line our will back up with yours. Let us be more persistent in our prayers. Lord, help us not to give up on praying, knowing that your answer might be right around the corner, Jesus. I've seen it happen so many times in my own life and others' lives. Lord, that communication with you, that prayer that we pray, is so important, not only to our lives, but into the lives of others. So Lord, help us as Jesus-following Christians be people that understand the importance of prayer. And Jesus, if somebody here today has not ever followed you, they've not ever allowed you to come in and save them and forgive them, give them a brand new life, I pray today be the day they do that. Jesus, as we stand to sing here in a moment, that you would be so heavy on their heart that they would not know anything else to do but to turn their lives over to you. Lord, you've done that to me. Pray that you would do that to others too. Jesus, thank you for the example you gave us in prayer. Save somebody this morning, Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen.